Hallelujah. It's really nice to be here, you guys. And we're not going to go over any kind of resume of who we are. All we want to say is that we are heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ and part of the end time army, just as you are, that are going to be people with names you might not recognize, because it won't matter about who our names are. We're going to be representing who Jesus is and lift his name up and not our own. And so tonight, we know that we have a word specific that the Lord's shared that is for you. And normally John and I minister together, but the Lord really spoke the word to him. It was really dwelling in his heart richly. And so I think it's better that he just share it. And but I at least just wanted to open up. And more than anything, what we would ask is that you just put your heart and your eyes on the Father and not on man, because we have nothing to give. There's nothing in us that we have to give that's of any value. In us we can do nothing, but in Christ we can do all things. And so we would just ask that you just put your hearts, keep your eyes and your focus on the Father, on what he wants to minister to you, because we do believe that he has something to impart into each of your lives tonight. And with that, that's what we're using our faith, that whatever it is heaven is desiring to impart into you tonight, that's what would take place. So just add your faith and your agreement with us in that.
Amen. Well, you definitely saw the better half. We're happy to be here. It's a blessing to be a part of your lives today and to have met many of you. And so we were encouraged by what God is doing in Manchester. Some time ago, we live in Saudi Arabia, as they had mentioned. But some time ago, we were in our life group or home church, I guess. You know, Saudi is not the easiest place to be a Christian, but we've managed a way to find a way. God has made a way, and we've managed to find gradually, step by step, to find those ways of creating streams in the desert places. So please, as you look at a map or hear anything about the Middle East, please pray for what God is doing there. Because in the midst of disruption, in the midst of chaos, he knows how to bring light and life to those situations. So we believe we've been sent, and as you all have, many of you have been sent to Manchester or to wherever it is that God may be taking you. So just believe with us that we accomplish what he desires. So I was praying about the situation in Saudi and this religion that is thrown in our face day after day after day. And the women, many of them are cloaked all in black, some of whom you don't even see their eyes. You know, they're totally enshrouded in a dark cloak, and it's called an abaya. And so as I was praying about that, because it's a hard transition. We've been there 3 years now, but that first year especially, it was not easy. And so in praying through that and just praying about God was at that particular time really giving me a heart for the ladies of that country and of that religion that just seemed oppressed. And as I was praying that God would remove this veil, remove this cloak, and allow them to experience him and his love, he started to turn it back, as often as he does. He started to turn it back to me, and to that it's a picture. He said, in many ways, I've been veiled, that I've not allowed him to fully be released, to fully be seen, as I've encountered other people, and that I've created a barrier between my life with him and God. And so it's out of that heart. And then he further went on to share that in many ways the church has done that, the global church, that we've all had in some ways, not all, but many of us have at least had those moments or those times when we've not wanted to press into God, not really wanted to know Him in a real and more intimate way. Maybe not wanted to share with our neighbor or with a coworker or whoever the love and the life of God and the light of God that's in us. So as we've done that, we've created a barrier. So I just want to encourage you as we go through that. In Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, it says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives life to everyone in the house." Light to everyone in the house, sorry. "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." A similar story, the same passage in that Mark captured in chapter 4, it says, Mark 4, 21 through 22, "He said to them, 'Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out in the open.'" God is calling us to shine. You know, He's in gifted us. He's blessed us with spiritual blessings, with life, with light, with His Spirit. You know, and He doesn't want us to cloak it under a veil, put it under a bushel, to hide it from others. Just want to encourage you tonight that in whatever ways that just to seek the Lord and ask Him, in what ways have I hidden the light of the world, you know, the light that I'm to share with those around me. Because God is calling us to shine. And what He has intended to be seen, shared, and experienced has at times been hidden, not only from the world, but from other brothers and sisters in Christ. Even some here, maybe. You know, maybe we've not been completely transparent or open or had as close a relationship with, you know, some in this room, maybe, as God would want. So I just encourage each of us to search and examine our hearts. If that's you, which I know it's me, and it's probably all of us, we're not alone. In Genesis, I'll just kind of take it back to the beginning. So Genesis, in terms of the creation story, God created Adam and Eve, and it says that they were created in His image and in His likeness. They went along. It didn't take them long, but by chapter 3, they were they had fallen. They had chosen religion over relationship. They'd chosen rules over an intimate relationship with God. God would come and walk with them in the cool of the day, and His only rule, His only thing was, you know what, there's a lot of things that you don't need to know about. Stay away from this tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's some things I just want to protect you from. One thing, one tree, one instruction. Stay away from this. And Satan came, tempted them, and we know the story from there. But what I want to show is in Genesis 3, 7 through 10, where it says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, unveiled, uncovered, so I hid.'" Right from the beginning, it was a battle between, you know, being unveiled and veiled, you know, covering and hiding ourselves from Adam and Eve were hiding themselves from one another, and they are hiding in the bushes from God. And ever since then, it's been this battle. Will you choose relationship or will you choose religion? Will you choose relationship and intimacy and being unveiled, or will you choose to cover yourselves with rules, regulations with something other than a pure and intimate relationship with God and with His Spirit. So this is the first example of God, of man hiding, covering the glory of God, hiding and covering from the glory of God was in the garden. Have you been hiding from God? Have we feared His intimacy? Have we feared His voice? Have we been afraid of being transparent with Him? The next snapshot is with Moses. And this is in Exodus 20, 18 through 21. And there's two little snippets in Exodus that I want to hit on. One's in 20 and one's in 24. But in 20, 18 through 21, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet, God's voice, and saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear. There's fear again. That seems to come up a lot when we distance ourselves from God. His perfect love flushes out all fear. So we separate ourselves from love, who is God, that allows an entrance for fear. They stayed at a distance, which is another thing that, you know, the proud worship from afar. You know, so if we're prideful, if we're too proud and we want to do it our way, we want control, we want the way we want it, it creates distance, creates a barrier. So they stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. So the mountain was in flames, the earth was shaking, the lightning, the thunder. That's all they saw. They didn't hear God's voice in that. And Moses said, "You know what? I'm going up." God wanted a relationship with all of them. But they said, "You know what, Moses, you go. We don't want to talk to God. We're too afraid of being intimate with God. He scares us. He shakes the earth when He speaks. We don't want that. We'd rather a religion. We'd rather rules. So you go up, Moses. You be our leader. You have the intimacy with God, and we'll follow you." So that's when He came down with the Ten Commandments. Exodus 24 gives us a picture of that. It says 29 through 35, "When Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. When he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord." So it didn't even extend to their relationship with God. But then they saw someone go into the presence of God, come back with a different glow, with a radiance on Moses' face. And you know what? They wanted to snuff that out. They said, "Moses, that's too much. That is too radical. You're too out there. Put that out so that we can be more comfortable with our dim-lit lives." And unfortunately, I've been in places, we've probably all been in places where you've seen that. You know, it's like, you might want to not raise your hands in here because that's a little too radical, or maybe not pray that way, but be a little quieter, or you know. We put limitations on one another, and God expresses Himself different ways through different people, through different personalities. We need to give one another grace and let Him shine on the faces of each and every one of us, be it in a quiet way, be it in a louder way, be it in a radical way, be it in a more subdued way. Give one another a little more grace. And don't be afraid if you see someone that's radiant with the presence of the Lord. So it was this, I guess Moses stopped wanting to, you know, take the veil back on and off. So this is kind of what led to the creation of the tabernacle with the curtain, which ultimately came the veil where he would go into the Holy of Holies, and priests after that would go into the Holy of Holies to meet in the presence of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3 addresses this. In verses 11 through 18, it says, "Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So it's in Christ, just like Brian talked about this morning, you know, in Christ, that we can have this veil taken away, taken off of our hearts, so that we can see God clearly, so that we can be comfortable with pressing into an intimate relationship with God, that we can be transparent with one another, and that we can allow others the grace to pursue God with all their heart and in the way that God has called them to. In Christ, the veil is taken away. We must pray for the veil to be removed. We must allow ourselves to be unveiled. We've got to go back to the garden. We've got to go back to that place of, in the cool of the day, walking with God, talking with God, having an intimate relationship with Him. Not choosing the tablets over the relationship. Not choosing the rules or the regulation or the religion over an intimate relationship and a walk with Him. A true friendship with Him. There's a prophetic look at this in Ezekiel. It says in Ezekiel 13, 20 through 21, it says, "Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I will tear off your veils and save my people from your hands, and they will no longer fall prey to your power. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Again, this tension, religion, relationship, religion, relationship, religion, relationship, and you see it again and again and again and again throughout the Bible, throughout the passages, throughout the Old Testament, and in the prophecy of Jesus coming to conquer that, which is what Ezekiel was pointing to. It happened in Matthew 27. Matthew 27, 50 through 51 and 55, it says, "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, He gave up His spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split." And I don't need to read that last part, sorry. So we had this powerful event that took place at the cross. So here's Jesus, and he's giving up his last breath, and he breathes out his spirit. And at that moment, that the curtain was torn from top to bottom, torn into two. I think he chose to rip it from the top to the bottom, just so that he could just show that it's God's hands. You know, that it's, I guess this curtain was 2 or 3 feet thick. That's how thick it was. Not wide, but the thickness of the actual. It was a huge curtain. There's no way any man or any even probably group of men could tear this, especially from the top to the bottom. But God. And so I think it's hugely symbolic of the veil, and of this veil over our hearts, of this veil over that the people wanted over Moses' face, the covering that as soon as Adam and Eve fell, that they felt like, you know what, all of a sudden I'm uncomfortable with who I am. I'm uncomfortable with my identity. I have to hide. I have to hide from God. I have to hide from the one that He created that's most close to me. Jesus took it all away. Jesus took away the veil so that each and every one of us could walk in freedom, could walk in and have an intimate, close relationship with Him, a love relationship with Him, a marriage relationship with Him. I've been thinking a lot about this and just about a little bit about what Brian was talking about this morning too, and I thought it fit very nicely in the discussion around, you know, we as the church are His bride. We are the bride of Christ. And you think about that, in order to really know, you know, like in Revelation it says, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." That word "knew" or "know" is the same word, exact same word that Mary used when she said, "How can this be? How can I be pregnant? For I never have known a man, never been intimate with a man." It's that same level of intimacy. So it just causes me that oftentimes I think about that verse and I think about on that day when we'll see Him face to face. What's He going to say? Is He going to be able to look at our lives and say that we really knew Him? We were really intimate with Him, that we were unveiled before Him? Or is He going to say something different than that? I want to be unveiled. I want to be hidden in Him, but not hidden from Him. Exposed to Him, but not exposed to the enemy. I want to be able to be seen, not me be seen, but Him seen through me. I'm a much better pipeline than the source. He is the source. We're just called to deliver. We're called to allow, to be a sleeve that He can reach through to touch the world. We can't do that if we're filtered, if we're limited, if we have a gap or a plug in the pipeline. And that's evident in this veil. Kind of find it interesting as well that just that it kind of it points back when Jesus when He was crucified and that event happened, and just said He was tearing the veil of religion, you know, and I see it with as these women and traditionally wear the abaya, and there's a diligence in their religion. There's a work in their religion of praying five times a day, getting up at the before sun break. But through being so exposed to that and seeing that, I begin to see things in my own life, you know, rather than casting judgment on people that just don't know. God's turned it inward and allowed me to see in my own life, you know, things that I've held on to that have been traditions, that have just been steps, just going through the motion, not really knowing why. And some of these things are good. Some of them we should continue, but maybe with an adjustment in our heart, and that could be what is it, but some of them are unnecessary. Some of them you'll see as you open up and as you become unveiled to Him, that He'll just lead you through to a freer life, to a more open walk with Him and a more intimate relationship with Him. I'd love to just pray right now if we could just bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord Jesus, we invite you now, Lord. We invite you now to just echo the work that you've already done, Lord. We know you don't have to do it because it's already done. It's already finished, Lord. But we ask that you would, any veil that we've recreated in our lives, Lord, any veil that we've put up as a barrier to you, maybe even as a barrier to ourselves, as a barrier to our spouse or to other people, as a barrier to the world, Lord. We ask that you would just remove it, that you would tear it, as your word says, as Ezekiel says, that you would just tear off the veils and save your people from the hands of the enemy, that we would no longer fall prey to the power of the enemy, but that we would submit and that we would experience you and your intimacy, Lord. We ask you to remove the veil from each and every one of us, Lord. That we would no longer hide in the bushes, but that we would embrace you, that we would run to you, Lord, that we would look for your voice in the cool of the day, Lord. That you'd remove the mental veil that would allow us to be able to see you, to know you, Lord. That you remove the veil off of our hearts, off of our emotions, that we would know you as you talked about in Revelation, Lord, that we would not be one that we would hear, but that we would instead hear, "Well and done, good and faithful servant." That our work is to believe. As the disciples asked, "How do we work the works of God?" Your answer was, "Your work is to believe, Lord." Help us to believe, help us to know you. And we ask that you to remove the veil from our hearts, from our lives, from our minds, from one another, and most of all from you, Lord. If there's anybody that wants a special prayer for that, and even with just still eyes closed, heads bowed, if you want a special prayer and you're willing to humble yourself to stand, I just ask that you would just stand wherever you are so that people around you can bless you and pray for you. Is there anybody that wants that? That wants, you just feel like you need a little bit more, just some help, and you're willing to be transparent right now and take that extra step of faith. Likewise, if there's anybody that needs healing, there's pain in your body, there's it could be in your back, it could be, you know, just wherever. If somebody has, you're not feeling well, you have pain, there's something you're dealing with, and you want somebody to pray for you around you, if you're comfortable with just standing. Okay. Anybody else? Now, as you see people around you that might be standing, if you could just gather around them and just lay a hand on their shoulder, and just speak a blessing of and we'll pray in a second here. But and if there's anybody else that wants the veil torn in their life, it's not too late. You can stand. We'll pray for both. So, Lord, right now we lift up these that have been bold enough to stand, Lord. Bold enough to believe you. And we worship you as the healer. We worship you as the great physician, Lord. We worship you as the one who by your stripes we are healed, Lord. We just ask that you would just touch their body right now. Wherever it is that pain may be in their bodies, it could be wherever. We rebuke pain in Jesus' name, because you already paid the price for it. So we remove that veil, Lord, that whatever veil has been keeping us from receiving healing from you. We choose to believe, just like the man whose son was dealing with seizures, Lord. I believe, help my unbelief, Lord, that we would remove that veil of unbelief to be able to believe you to heal right now in Jesus' name. And so we thank you, Lord, that you're touching bodies right now. You're healing pains. And if there's something that was restricted or limited before, just begin to just move that, if it was your back, feel free to bend over or whatever, just to see, because I believe God is healing right now. I believe he is a healer, and I believe he still heals, and I believe he wants to heal and will heal. We just thank you, Lord, for your healing power. We thank you for your healing touch tonight, Lord. And we thank you for removing the veil in our lives. We thank you for taking us deeper. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to take us deeper into a deeper relationship with you, a deeper revelation of your word, a deeper understanding of just how much you love us, Lord, and that we would be in you, in your name, just like the name God, the name Yahweh in Hebrew. Yud He Vav He in Hebrew means God breathes, man breathes. That we would be free to breathe you in, free to breathe you out, free to experience you, and free to share you with others, Lord. That we would be blessed with your hand, with your breath, and that as we leave here tonight, Lord, that we would be able to walk out in love and walk out in power and in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Leave one another, and that is if in your rows, or turn to the people behind you, if we could gather in groups of maybe three or four and just pray for the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to take the people that you're praying with to that next place in him, to higher places in him, because we know that he wants to take each of us from levels of glory to glory to glory, that more of him is seen through us, that we can actually not only be impacted personally, but that our families are impacted, that our communities are impacted, and that beyond our communities are impacted. But we need more of him to flow through us. And so if we could pray one for another, just gather, whether it be in a row of three or four, or turn around into the row around you, and just exercise your faith for your fellow brothers and sisters. I think that would bless the Lord. And I do believe that's there's something that he's wanting to impart into us.
Yes. Because it was completely tied in with what you've been saying tonight, John. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But on Tuesday, I recommitted my life to Jesus on Tuesday morning, because I've been living in that place for a very long time, very long time. And Tuesday morning, I was on my own. It was super early in the morning. I was out running, and I kind of gave in, and I can't do this anymore. I'm either giving up or I'm giving to you, but I can't live like this anymore. So it's either one way or the other, but I can't run lukewarm anymore. It's just not for me. And I just felt this impression. I'm hoping I'm saying the right animal, but it was like a chameleon, and it was, I'm so good over the years. I've been so great at being a chameleon. Is that the right word? Yeah? I can adapt to any situation I'm in. So in church, I have my church face. And then with my friends, I have my friend's face. And then with other people, I have another face. And it's like, it's exhausting. You just can't do it anymore. And so what you're saying is right. Like, we can become almost so complacent about God in our life, and we can just almost plod on and on, like treading through mud daily. And I'm not saying that's where any of you guys are, that's just where I have been, and I cannot do it anymore. And so I recommitted to God, and I said, just take it all and just do with me what you want to do. But and I feel that I wasn't going to share that because it was a very, very, very personal thing to me. But I don't know why I just had to share it, because I feel like so many more people are, maybe not to the extent I was, but so many more people kind of feel that treading through mud kind of way of life. And he's got so much more to offer, and I'm excited again about what he's got to offer me and the fire that he's put in my heart again for him. And I hope that I am wise enough to hold on to it and grow with it and become the person he wants me to be, because I've not been that person for so long. So just what you've said tonight is just bang on. So thank you.
Exactly what the Lord wants to do. He wants us to be transparent with one another, that one, we're affected, and two, something happens to somebody else. And the more that we're really truly real with one another, the more we can be real outside of these walls, which is what the world is waiting for. They want to see Jesus. They hate religion. We've never had more friends with the lost than what we do in Saudi Arabia. And I tell you, we see so many people burned by religion. They dislike Christianity because all they've seen is a form. They have not seen Jesus. They've not seen the love of the Father. And until we can get on our faces before the Father and let him do what he wants to do, that we humble every part of who we are to him, that we allow him to touch us the way he needs to touch us, at that point, that's when we can be transparent with the people around us, with one another, our brothers and sisters, and be transparent outside of these walls. People want to see us be real, and they want to see the love of God. Amen. So anyway, if you could just turn to three or four people around you that you just exercise your faith for them to go to a new level. It's great seed to sow your faith to see somebody else go higher in him. And they'll do the same for you. Praise the Lord.